in the trees and in the lights and in the fireplace that we have back here are remnants of our peaceful little Christmas that we had this year at this church. And maybe this Christmas season, there are many things that help to put you at ease or feel comfortable at Christmas time, traditions which are familiar to you, which you look forward to, and when you are in the middle of it, everything finally feels right, and everything feels okay. Like there's a peace that covers the Christmas celebration like a childhood blanket. The sights, the sounds, the smells, they create a familiarity, and we settle in around this time of year. And then sometimes, in the middle of our silent night, holy night, a violent night, an unholy night breaks into our Christmas celebration like the shattering of a stained glass window. It comes to us in a phone call in the middle of the night, a breaking news headline across the TV screen, a post that we see on Facebook as we scroll through our feed, a disruption of our routine, a shock to our system, a sudden wake up in the night, and we are awoken to the reality that this is the world that we live in, and we need a Savior. This is what happens in our Christmas story, as we just read. You see, it's not just Mary and Joseph and sweet little baby Jesus, the angels, the shepherds, the star in the sky, the wise men from the east who come to visit. Suddenly, in the middle of our Christmas story, a mad, paranoid king named Herod orders that the boy babies born 2 years and under be killed. History would come to call this event the Massacre of the Innocents. We don't talk about this part of the Christmas story all that much in Sunday school. In fact, I wish this wasn't in our Bibles at all. But this is how I know that our Christmas story is true. I know it's true because what it is talking about is our world. Abortion, racism, mass shootings, sexual abuse, refugees fleeing violent countries, the destruction of our earth and its resources. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, we're told in Romans 8:22, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to this very time. And so I'm sorry that I can't be light with you this morning, friends, but the Bible will just not be light about the brokenness that's in our world. Many people believe that religion is just an escape from reality. And while it's true that there are many people who use religion in order to insulate themselves from the pain and suffering that's in the world, and in fact, there's many religions that even teach that the answer is to escape from this world. But the God of the Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches that God sees the brokenness of our world. In Exodus 3, verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord told him, 'I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt.'" You remember this story? "I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering." God sees our brokenness. Although sometimes it feels like our prayers just hit the ceiling, or maybe feels like they drift off to nowhere, God hears us, and He knows our suffering. He not only sees the brokenness of our world, but He embraces our broken world. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." A verse that we're very familiar with, John 3:16, begins by saying, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son." This isn't speaking about a God who is distant or closed off to human suffering and pain. This is a God who embraces a broken world. God doesn't wipe his hands of our world, but he gets his hands dirty by coming into it. Behold, the virgins shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And he took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, this doesn't make it any easier that God sees the brokenness of our world and he embraces our broken world. It doesn't make it any easier that Jesus' entire generation in Bethlehem was snuffed out. I mean, what are we supposed to do with passages of Scripture like this, like the one that we just read? These tragedies cause us to confront the really hard questions. Why didn't God save them? Why couldn't God stop Herod from making that order? And as was mentioned in our upcoming series next week, Pastor Dan is going to be talking about the difficult why questions that we have. And so I do encourage you to come in the next few weeks during the month of January as Dan talks about those difficult questions. We don't shy away from those. We want to go right at them. But God can handle our why questions. He's given us examples of how to cry out against the pain and the suffering and hurt that we experience. They are the Psalms of Lament. Some of you just looked at me like, "Lo what?" The Psalms of Lament. The Psalms of Lament are psalms which are expressing grief or sorrow. You know, of the 150 psalms that we have in our Bible, about 42 of them are psalms of lament, psalms expressing grief or sorrow. And so I think it's really important that if God gave us these prayers in the 42 psalms of lament, that we need to learn the prayer language of lament. We need to learn it so that we can help those who are hurting. Romans 12:15 says to mourn with those who mourn. One year I was going to a Christmas party at a friend's house when suddenly her dad collapsed of a brain aneurysm and died. Some years later, I remember talking to her about how painful it was for her to hear those easy answers that people like to give when they go through a tragedy. You know, those easy answers of, well, he's in a better place now, or God has a plan. Now, while true, those were not comforting to her. Interestingly enough, what she said to me is the most comforting thing that she heard was from another friend who had experienced the loss of his father at a young age. And he said to her that death is an offense to God. Lament does not gloss over our pain with easy answers. But what it does is it acknowledges the cold reality that we live in a broken world. Can we just accept that? Lament gives us permission to express our hurt to God. Perhaps if we incorporated prayers of lament into our worship, the world would take our faith a little more seriously. They would see that we're not living in la-la land, but we're living in the same world that they live in every day. They'd see that being a Christian doesn't mean that we don't experience any pain anymore. In fact, being a Christian makes us more like Jesus, who suffers and calls us to suffer with him. You see, the same God who sees and embraces the broken world wants us to do the same. On the cross, Jesus cried out a lament. From Psalm 22, when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? When we're told not to grieve, like the world in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it's not telling us not to grieve at all. What it's doing is it's telling us to grieve, but with hope. Prayers of lament affirm our trust in God. When I read this passage of Scripture today, two things rose to the surface for me. The first is that this is the broken world that we live in. And the second is that this is why we need a Savior. The reason why we need the Prince of Peace is because there is no peace on earth. And this is exactly why Jesus came. In fact, wasn't it also during a time when Egypt and Pharaoh was killing Hebrew babies that God sent them a deliverer? And wasn't it also that just as Moses was raised in Egypt, Mary and Joseph fled to Egypt where Jesus was raised up? And even in the darkest hour, God will deliver us. See, prayers of lament, they help us to help the hurting. They help us to express our hurt, and they affirm our hope in God. And this is the way that God has given us to groan with all of creation, sometimes with groanings too deep for words, but still groanings that God can hear. The verse after Romans 8:22, which says all of creation is groaning as in pains of childbirth, says this in verse 23. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. You see that we groan, express our hurt and pain to God, but we do so with hope, knowing that we have a promise from a Savior that one day He is going to make all things new. So, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. What I'm going to do right now is I'm actually going to put this into practice. I'm going to lead us in a call and response prayer, a prayer of lament. And this is the reason why we didn't do the prayer time when we normally do, is because we're going to do it right here. It's going to be a call response. On the screen, you'll see a part that says leader. And when it says that, that's the part that I'm going to read. And when it says response, then that's going to be the part that we all read together. Okay? So make sure you read out loud so that this works. All right. Let's pray this together. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. My hope is from God. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. Lord, in our shock and confusion, we come before You. In our grief and despair, in the midst of hatred and brutality, in our sense of helplessness in the face of unrelenting violence, in our hopelessness that things will ever change, we cry out to You, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on us. We grieve with those who grieve. We mourn with those who mourn. And we pray for justice, looking to You, our just and righteous God. We cry out to You, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on us. You are our Creator, and are creating still. You are our Redeemer and are redeeming still. You are our Sustainer and are sustaining still. You have not left us as orphans. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. For my hope is from God. God alone is my rock and my salvation. my fortress, I shall not be shaken. On God rests my deliverance and my honor. My mighty rock, my refuge is in God. One of the gifts that God has given us in the church is the arts, which help us to learn the language of lament, because art and has a way of expressing what even words alone cannot. And so paintings and poetry and songs, all are wonderful gifts that we have to express lament. Like when you hear a reading or a song that expresses exactly what you're going through, the reason why it makes such a connection with you is because it's the same human experience that we're all going through. It ends up being a language of lament. And so those Psalms, I encourage you sometime to read through the Psalms and see if you can recognize some of which Psalms are the ones of lament, and see if you can see those themes in there of crying out to God in our hurt and frustration, but then affirming our trust in God. I actually wrote a song that's a lament song that is about this very event, the massacre of the innocents that happened in Bethlehem that night. I'm going to put the words on the screen. I'm going to have the band's going to come up and help me with it. But I want you to see if you can recognize the themes of lament, the expressing hurt and affirming our hope in God as we sing this song.
Bethlehem, oh Bethlehem, is weeping for her children. Herod's rage has filled her streets with death. Oh Bethlehem, Bethlehem, oh Bethlehem, refuses to be comforted. Her little baby's taken from her hands. Oh Bethlehem, Bethlehem, oh Bethlehem, your weeping will not last, for there is one who got away, and though he'll share his brother's fate,
Lord, that in that tragic event that happened in the history of our world, that all was not lost, that the deliverer was raised up, that our Jesus who came to this broken world that we live in, to embrace us,
and to show us the way and to ultimately suffer and die in our place, Lord. We give you thanks and praise that even in those events, you are still working, God. Even when all that we can see is the darkness in front of us, there is still that light of hope that is Christ and is the promises that he will return and he will make all things new. So we give thanks to you, Lord, for that. And we worship even in the middle of our suffering, just like your servant Job did. In Jesus' name, amen.